I want to help those children who are out of school, and I also want to work on the ground. And for that reason, we have set up Malala Fund to do advocacy, to build schools, to do teachers training, to motivate the parents of the children to send their daughters to school, and as well as to recognize those girls who are speaking up for their rights, and to award them and to recognize them. This book not only tells my story, but it tells the story of every girl who has been suffering from terrorism in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. It is about girls' rights. And I know, and I'm proud to be a girl, that we girls can change the world. So are girls with me?
So, Malala, you mentioned the Malala Fund, and I just met your cousin who runs the fund, right? And what do you want to do with this fund?
Malala Fund, we may call it foundation as well. When I was in Swat before the incident that I faced, I was thinking that I'm speaking up for my rights, I'm speaking up for the rights of every girl, but I also need to do work on the ground. Not for just looking at a child and speaking up for him, but also to do something for him so that he can go to school. And at that time, it was my dream to set up an organization, a foundation, where I can build schools and educate those children. And now it's a great opportunity for me because people are supporting me, you are supporting me, and of course, World Bank is supporting me. I'm hopeful.
You have become an agent of change. You're starting a movement. How do you do that? How do you get people behind you on this great movement for girls' education?
The first thing is that I believe in the power of the voice of women. And then I believe that when we work together, then it's really easy for us to achieve our goal. When I was in Swat, only few of us were speaking, but still our voice had an impact. And now, not only I, but millions of girls are raising their voice and they are speaking. So I believe that through our voice, through raising our books and our pens, we can achieve our goals and as soon as possible. But we need to work hard for it and we need to work together.
Malala, you know, you focus so much on education. Now, I hear that at one point, you wanted to be a doctor. Now, I'm a doctor, but I hear you don't want to be a doctor anymore. What's wrong with being a doctor? Doctors can be politicians too.
It's a good idea to be a doctor. But I think it's really hard to be a doctor forever, and then you have to treat patients and help them every day, and you have like a tight schedule. So that's why politicians, I have chosen politics because politicians only need to speak. If I go in detail and if I really speak from my heart, I think by becoming a doctor, I can only help a community, a small area. If someone is being shot, I can only help him, I can only treat him. But by becoming a politician, I can take action so that tomorrow the doctor will receive no such cases in which a person will be shot. This is my dream, to see no more patients.
Okay, I'm convinced, be a politician. Yeah. Let me ask you just to tell the story. I mean, I've now heard it, you tell it several times. but I think it's so important for everyone to hear. You thought a lot about what it would be like before you were shot, about what would happen if an attacker came at you. Can you tell us that story?
My father spoke for women's rights and he still continues his campaign. At that time when Talibanization was spreading in Swat, the Taliban blasted more than 400 schools only in Swat. They blasted 1,500 in province Khyber Pakhtunkhwa. They were slaughtering people. They were flogging women. But still, we were not expecting them to kill a child. We were not expecting them to shoot a child. So at that time, I was worried about my father. But then later on, when I was nearly 14 or 15, and when I received the threats, then I started to think about myself. Said, Malala, now you are growing older. And at that time, when I used to go back to my home and when I was in the streets going to school, I used to think that a Talib will come. He's definitely going to come and he's going to shoot you. Are you stopping your campaign? And I said, no, definitely not. So then what are you going to do if he comes? And I prepared myself for that. That if a Talib comes and he has the gun and he's going to shoot me, I will tell him that shoot me, but listen to me first. Listen to my voice. Listen to what I say. And I would tell him that I want even education for their sons and daughters. I'm not speaking up against them. I'm not against any person, but I am against their ideology. I am against their mission that they are saying. Why are they against education? And then I'll tell them that I have said what I wanted to, and that was my right, and now you do what you want.
Malala, we have many wonderful guests here. We have girls here in the front row, ambassadors for Girl Rising, and members of the Girl Up organization who are eager to ask you a question. So let's give them a microphone, and here we go for the first question.
Hello, my name is Sandra Uwiringimana. I'm an ambassador of Girl Rising and from Democratic Republic of Congo. And my question today is, how can we make sure that girls and women stay in our agenda every day that we're talked about, not just on this one day? I think it's really sad that we only raise these issues on today. So we want to make sure that we're talked about every day. And how do you suggest to go about doing that?
Thank you. In my opinion, we must keep in mind that we are celebrating Girls' Day and Women's Day, but it does not mean that this one day is for women and for girls. Every day is our day. And we are going to speak for ourselves and for our rights. And I think that there is no day for men, there is no boy day. And we are going to struggle. We are going to struggle for our rights. So then tomorrow we would not need a day for ourselves. We would not need a day. We wouldn't need any day.
Thank you. Malala, you know, we also ask people around the world to send us their questions. And this question was especially meaningful for me. I'm, as you know, I told you, I'm a father of a 13-year-old son and a 4-year-old son. And so Mark Toft wrote to us and said, Malala, I am so proud of you. I'm a father of a 4-year-old girl living in America. Any words of advice for the fathers of young girls around the world? My daughter will know your story.
I think my father is a great example. And as my father say, that don't give something extra to your daughters. Don't do anything for them. But don't do one thing. My father says that don't do one thing with your daughters. And that is, do not clip their wings, do not cut their wings, and let them fly, and give them the equal and the same rights as your sons have. Accept them as human beings. And I think my father is a great inspiration for me and is for everyone. So,
can you stand, Mr. Yousafzai? Thank you. Now let's take another question from one of the girls.
Hi, Malala. I'm Annie Kianaga, and I go to a high school called Stone Ridge right around here, and I'm here with Girl Up. And this is a question from a 13-year-old boy in Ghana who asked, when you were on your hospital bed, did you ever wish that you were a boy?
I'm a boy?
Yeah.
It seems really strange. I never wish to be a boy, and I will never wish. I'm proud to be a daughter, I'm proud to be a girl. And I know that girls are famous for their hard work, I'm proudly saying. Girls are famous for their being obedient to parents, they listen to their parents, so I don't like to be with like boys. And I don't want to be like my brothers. But the thing is that when I was in the hospital, it was really a hard time for me. Because when I was short, I don't remember that incident, what happened to me. And I was going back home, but I did not know that the journey will never end. And after 7 days, I saw myself lying in a bed in a hospital in Birmingham. And at that time, my parents were not with me. And 10 days later, I saw them. And I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what language do people speak. I didn't know who brought me there. But I was sure about one thing, that God has saved my life. He has given me a new life, a second life, and for a cause. And I used to ask 2 questions from the doctors, always. The first question was, where is my father? I couldn't speak at that time. So I used to call the nurse or a doctor to give me a pen and a paper. Because of the tube in my neck, I couldn't speak. And the second question that I always wrote was that, we don't have money, who will pay for me?
So very few words explains big things. We have many economists here, and economics is just the opposite. Why don't we do one more question from girls?
Hello, my name is Sheridan O'Connor, and I go to Georgetown Visitation. It's an all-girls school that's just about 15 minutes away from here. And so Rahima from the Philippines asked you, how do you manage to live a normal teenage life with all the major happenings that have happened in your life?
Thank you so much. I don't know, usually a teenage life would be just to enjoy at school and have a mobile phone, call your friends, go out on trips and enjoy your life. But still teenagers have to do homework. And the other thing is that I am busy all the times, but I remain busy, and I have accepted this busy life, but for a reason. And I'm happy that I remain busy for that reason, because that is the education of every child. And if I don't watch TV for 10 minutes, if I don't play cricket for 2-3 minutes, and if I don't fight, well, I usually fight, but if I don't fight with my brothers, and if I work for education, and if I dedicate myself to education, then it means that I'm helping those 57 million children who are out of schools. And for me, their education is important. For me, the education of every child is important. And we can see that children are starving for education. And we need to help them. We need to raise their voice. We need to take action. And we need to work for them.
What can we do to change the mindsets and attitudes of those people who don't want girls to get an education?
The first thing is that when we look at the causes, that why girls are not going to school, and as well as boys, the things that come are poverty. Because of poverty, those children have to do child labor, child trafficking. They have to earn for their family. And then the second reason is the cultural norms and taboos. In many places, and people also use the name of religion against the education of children. So I think we must change the mindset of people. And we must not consider it that it would be very difficult, because those terrorists can change the mind of people to make them suicide attackers, to make them suicide bombers, so then we can also change their minds to tell them about humanity, to tell them about peace, to tell them about equality. And I think that if those terrorists, they are successful in their mission, because they can change the minds of people really easily, they are doing their job easily, so then why can't we? If they are struggling so hard, so we must also struggle hard. And I think it is necessary that every one of us should take part in it. I speak and they work. Painters, artists, they give the message of education and of humanity through colors, through paint. Musicians sing. And I think that every person, whether a child, whether a young person, whether an adult, whether an old person, they all can do and they all can take part in it. So I think it's the duty of every person. Most of the time we blame politicians. But I'm going to be a politician, that's why I'm protecting politicians. But we are also responsible for it. In Swat, when Swat was suffering from terrorism, at that time when we were speaking up for our rights, when the girls of Swat were speaking, we did not know that our voice will reach to someone or not. But we did. We thought that it is our responsibility to speak. If I cannot do anything else, then the better way is to do what I can. You can write, you can say, you can take action. So there are many ways to fight all these problems. But we need to take a step. And I think, let us support the cause of education. And in my opinion, education is the only solution.
So, Malala, we have many politicians here at this meeting, but we have very special kind of politician. They are finance ministers, central bank governors, ministers of development. So they control all the money. This is a very special kind of politician. What would you tell them?
If I talk really from my heart, and if I look at the United States of America, only to the government of the United States of America, we all know that people in suffering countries like Pakistan, Afghanistan are really angry with the United States. I think the best way to fight terrorism is not through guns. If you want to end a war through a war, it's never going to end. Much of the money is spent on making tanks, on making guns. Much of the money is spent on soldiers. We need to spend the same money on books, on pens, on teachers, and on schools. So the governments must take an action. It's the duty of the governments. It's their duty. We vote them not to make them able to take a decision according to their views and according to their ideas. We vote them to listen to us. We vote them to listen to what we say. And we ask them now that work for education of every child. And do not fight through guns. Fight through pens and through books. And take education serious. If we never lose hope and we continue our struggle, and when we work together, then we can achieve our goal. And that's very necessary for our campaign. Thank you.
Thank you. Malala, you said when you were at the UN, one child, one teacher, one book, and one pen can change the world. You've changed us here today, and you're changing the world. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.